And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report, coming to you live from radio and television studios in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania, where we broadcast live each and every weeknight from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Folks, you can go to hagmanandhagman.com for all venues to take your pick of broadcasting venues. There we've got several. Our home base here is on the Global Star Radio Network, and of course we simulcast as well on BTR, Blog Talk Radio, and of course on YouTube Live. And pay attention, ladies and gentlemen, to YouTube Live, because and just go to HagmanHagman.com and watch the video, because tonight we are going to show the trailer from True Legends, The Unholy Sea. And if you haven't, folks, if you have not gotten yourself a copy of that or accessed that via the internet, do so, because it is telling, revealing, and companion to that, of course, Steve Quayle's books that include Genesis 6 Giants and Little Creatures and many, many. So, folks, pay attention tonight, because I just very briefly, looking at this situation, looking at the past, the antiquities that are being discovered and the spin that is associated with them, is really the key to understanding not just the past, but the future events as they unfold. Here to talk about that are two distinguished, in my view, distinguished people. One, of course, Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, and then Tim Alberino, folks, Genesis 6 Giants, True Legends. Mr. Alberino is a legend in and of himself, or by himself, or himself, I shouldn't say, you know, himself, he's a legend, in my view, anyway. And, you know, the headlines of Steve Quayle, the headlines and the research findings of Timothy Alberino will go down in history as the foremost, in my view, anyway, the foremost significant findings that will not just map out the past, but give a glimpse into the future. Joey, I'm going to toss it to you. You can bring them on. By the way, portions of tonight's programs, portions of tonight's program, I'm putting the S's in the wrong spot tonight. Portions of tonight's program brought to you by Minuteman Rocket Stove. It's a perfect survival cooking stove for your family in the times of need. And they've got a wonderful, wonderful product. We use it, Minuteman Rocket Stove. Visit their website for the rocket stoves as well as the fire starters, intense fire starters. MinutemanStove.com. Joe, I'm going to kick it over to you so I don't mess up the English language anymore. This comes from my attempts to pronounce some of the Spanish words I was looking at in the articles, in the research, in the findings. And I'm actually having a phonics lesson in my office, but go ahead.
Yeah, we got a great show for you tonight. And just a couple quick announcements. This week we have a great lineup, lined up for you. Tomorrow, Sheila Zelinsky's going to come on to talk about her new book. We're also going to have an in-studio guest this Friday.
Yes.
Mr. Jack Cashel, author of TWA Flight 800. We were at a picnic of his yesterday, a great event, and we want to thank him for that. With that, we're going to bring on Mr. Steve Quayle and Timothy Alberino. Steve, gentlemen, Welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Well, thank you, and it's a delight to be on with you tonight, Doug, Joe, and everyone listening. I think you're going to find tonight's a very important and dramatic turnaround in the information that's now flowing. As you know, Tim Alberino wrote pretty much the script for our latest True Legends, The Unholy Sea, and lo and behold, within probably 1 week, Doug, of within 1 week, the world's largest pyramid in the world was found hidden inside a mountain in Mexico that they're claiming the early settlers built a church on top of a hill, not knowing that the Great Pyramid of Cholulu lay beneath. Now, that's BS, okay? The bottom line is that from the beginning of the Spanish conquistadors pillaging, plundering of the Americas, South America, Latin America, all over the country, they have basically put their churches on every high point in the city to show the conquest of the Catholic faith over the pagan religions. Now, when Tim and I first started talking about this, we basically encountered a lot of people poo-pooing us. But I think it's neat because we can make statements and then God gives us the exclamation point. And judging from the response we've been getting on the Unholy See from all over the world, people are saying it puts so many of the pieces together. Now, I find it interesting that this didn't happen 2 years ago, 3 years ago, or 4 years ago. But by the grace of God, his love for his creation, he wants people to know the truth. And by the way, I think God's doing a great job of no longer allowing aberrations of specific denominations to obscure the word of God. I say that in the context of there's nothing that's hidden that won't be revealed and made known. So we're going to talk tonight about some of the amazing things, but one of the most amazing things is, and I'm going to turn right over to you, Tim, that is happening in our world is all of the plausible and the former and formal denials of alien life, of planets that can host human life. Everything that's out there now is coming to the forefront. And I believe, and Tim will share in detail, that we're on the verge of, right now we may be just watching the beginnings of the announcement that the aliens are here and that they created us. They'll move it from the aliens are there to the aliens came here, and pretty much to fit in with their total unveiling. So we'd encourage everybody to absolutely watch the trailer and to understand tonight we're not making stuff up. We spend a horrific amount of money to go all over the world and then to have the best production we can afford at the moment. And Doug, from what, you know, Tom Horn said and others have said, this is the best DVD of its kind that they've ever seen. I think you've echoed that. So this is not, you know, a handy cam, a mic on the camera, just, you know, cinema verite style. This is a production that basically weaves the central theme of history that the fallen angels gave to mankind. Their technology, their understanding of science, and through that arcane, hidden, or occult understanding, as people serve them, has come about this, what I would call, technologically decadent period of techno-serfdom, those are words I coined years ago, that are coming into full fruition. And so now we're seeing everything that's been hidden revealed, and the astonishing thing is that it litters the pages now of mainstream news sites, especially when it comes to the supernatural being on Drudge, the London Daily Mail. All over the world, people are experiencing strange anomalies. And somebody said, it's almost like the most evil hand opened Pandora's box, the one that was hidden in the regular box. So go ahead, Tim, and take it.
Well, good evening, gentlemen. Talking about this Cholula pyramid, what I find really interesting about this is that the pyramid was actually discovered in the early 20th century, but is recently appearing all over the news this month, in the month of August, if we're still in the month of August. Yes, we are, the 29th. It's just exploding all over the internet and all over the news. Even though it's been known, people have known about this particular pyramid for a while, for a century. And it literally comes on the heels of, as Steve said, of our production of our last documentary film, which deals with exactly the situation that we find at Cholula, at the Pyramid of Cholula in Mexico, which is a pyramid, a very large pyramid. In fact, this is claimed to be the largest pyramid on the planet. It has a base four times larger than the Great Pyramid of Giza and nearly twice its volume. But perched on top of the pyramid is a Catholic church, which in the Unholy See, we detail why it is that the Catholic Church, in many cases, will place a cathedral or a monastery or some other kind of religious building on site where these ancient structures are found, and literally on top of them, sometimes, as in the case of Cholula. And this pyramid is, not only is it the largest structure, what they say is the largest structure on the planet, man-made structure in terms of ancient structures. It's also the oldest continuously occupied building on the continent because of the church that's on top of it, which I find to be very interesting. This church was built during the conquest of Mexico, which was basically happening in the same time frame, more or less, of the conquest of Peru. So you have many of the same factors happening in Mexico that were happening in Peru, in Mexico with Cortez, and in Peru with Pizarro. But these guys were discovering the same things and doing the same things. The conquistadors in Mexico with Cortez were finding the bones of giants, just like the conquistadors that were conquering the Incan Empire in Peru and Bolivia. And in fact, they were communicating with one another, according to the documents that we uncovered. And it's a well-known fact that these conquests that they were cut from the same cloth, literally, these conquistadors. And so giants are being discovered at the same time, the bones of giants. These pyramids are being discovered, and churches are being erected, Catholic churches. A Catholic presence is being placed directly in these very important archaeological zones, just like all the other structures, all the other major ancient structures around the world. This Cholula temple pyramid has an extensive underground network below it and inside of it, and just like the other structures, ancient structures around the world, it's built on top of previous pyramids. So it is extremely interesting to me that, as Steve said, we finish our film, the second episode in our documentary film series, The Unholy See, dealing with this subject matter, and then a month later, we've got a story running through the press of a pyramid that fits the bill of everything we talked about in our film. And not only that, also in the month of July, a couple of weeks after we released our film, or a week after we released our film, NASA came out with an image of the surface of Mars. And I've talked about this extensively with Tom Horn and with Gary Stearman, that NASA comes out with this picture with the heading Morse code on Mars. And of course, they created a media frenzy about Morse code on Mars. Is this a potential communication on Mars? And then they proceeded to absolutely disqualify the idea that it could be a potential communication from Mars. But nevertheless, the heading Morse code on Mars gets plastered all over the world in the news, in both internet articles and on major news networks such as Fox News, CNN, MSNBC. They all carried the story. And I find that to be very interesting, because we featured something called the Geoglyphs of Tiahuanaco in our first film, in episode one of our True Legends series, which are the geoglyphs are these massive lines and dots and mounds that are raised over the earth in the Altiplano, in the high plain of Bolivia, but are also engraved into the bedrock. So they're mounds and they're engraved, and they're absolutely massive. And you can see those featured in the first film, of our documentary series in episode one. So it's almost like we're producing these films, we're covering these topics, and then suddenly we're being verified. Our research is being verified in real time in the news. right after we complete these documentaries. So there's definitely something happening. I think that we are experiencing what could be described as soft disclosure at this point. I think that very gradually, incrementally, information is being released that is intentionally designed to prime us, to acclimate us to the announcement that's coming in the very near future.
Soft disclosure with a spin, though, with their spin, right?
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Yep. And, you know, Doug, excuse me a minute. Sorry for my throat. The interesting and the more, I would say, important aspect of this is, as you know, I put out a request twice on your show for someone that was good with math. And, you know, the guys that tried to help me, both their confessions, it was beyond their ability. Well, here's what I'm maintaining, and I'm going to say it tonight for the first time I think it's ever been said. I believe that NASA, Gary Haven told me NASA's in the Bahamas and NASA's in Florida, the ability to decipher those, both whether it's the Martian landscape or, you know, the ones that we found in Peru, the thing that I'm struggling with is how to put this into words, because it's so massive in the ramifications. I maintain that, and Tim and I are working on this right now, it was my contention that the language that David Flynn first identified in his book, Cydonia, the Secret Chronicle of Mars, and then later, you know, in his other writings that are available on my website, the thing that's important to keep in mind is if NASA has already deciphered that, then the correlation between what's on Mars and what's on the surface of the Earth in South America, primarily Peru, we're talking about something that is so, beyond mortal comprehension that it will take. Here, I know what I'm trying to say. It's beyond mortal comprehension, even if they've deciphered it in the highest or lowest annals of Luciferianism. The spin will be, Doug, under soft disclosure, which will turn to hard disclosure, I'm afraid, very soon, is to say that they have deciphered it. Now, because they're the only ones outside the Russians or Chinese or whoever else may have done the same thing, they can put whatever spin on it they would like. And so, you know, by the grace of God, where they've got billions, we've got our knees, and we've got prayers, and we've got intercession. And by the way, I want to make this clear to everybody who's been praying for us. Tim and I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we talk about this all the time, we know that God is being faithful to answer your prayers, both for our safety and for the steps he's leading us in to get this deciphering. Look, it's true. Tim got what he got from the Holy Ghost. I got what I got from the Holy Ghost. A man has nothing except he receives it from above. But we're being led in a very, I would say this, a totally almost contrarian leading to definitely standard archaeology, standard cosmology, standard everything. In other words, the framework of the false narrative of history is being broken almost on a daily basis. Now, the fact that this is a big pyramid in Cholulu, what most people lose track of, prior to the flood of Noah, there were no oceans, okay? There were supercontinents, and all across the world, there were massive pyramids. And what we're going to be presenting to people, and part of our next True Legends series, number three, is that if you take out the fact that oceans were only existent after the flood, you can see the continuity of all of the different pyramids from all over the world. In essence, just as in Babylon, they were seeking to have a standard language, which, by the way, they're going to achieve very soon, and through universal translation, instantaneous translation understanding, that which the plains of Shinar failed in, the mad Illuminus will succeed in. But that's another story another time. So as we're researching this, what's fascinating is that, you know, 120 million years ago, there was called the map of the creator. I've made that a mention of that before. It's done on a scale that's pretty interesting, whereas 1 inch equals 1.1 kilometer, but it directly matches specific areas of the Ural Mountains. if the flood, and we believe, obviously, the Book of Enoch teaches that the fallen angels knew the flood was coming to destroy their progeny. So they wrote in the mountains, they wrote in the sand, they wrote in the land, and they wrote in the stars exactly their testimony of who they are. In essence, they wrote their will and testament to their children produced by, you know, supernatural relationships between fallen angels and earth women. I want to remind everybody, when you're talking about the supernatural, gravity does not apply in the sense you understand it. Physics do not apply in the sense you've been taught it. And your understanding needs to be in a different realm. I have to say this every time I go on your show because I'll get emails. Don't send them. Don't waste your breath, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus said in heaven, they are neither given nor taken to marriage, but are as the angels when confronted by the Pharisees. But we're not talking about heavenly angels. We're talking about fallen angels. And what's becoming more apparent daily is that dead things from under the earth are moved at thy coming. Now, I want to share something, Tim. I'll give it right back to you. I've been receiving a couple of things from Glenda Lomax. I guess her name is Glenda Laukas now or something. Wings of Prophecy. I'm sorry, Glenda, if I mispronounce your name. But, Doug, this is echoing what Tim and I are finding out. The more we go investigating, the more we are seeing the gates of hell and the locals or people who are talking to us, contacting us, talking about such amazing supernatural events happening today. Not yesterday, not 10,000 years ago or 10 million years ago. Now, I want to read this because this is something that's very fascinating, very pertinent to what Tim and I are talking about tonight. In the world around us, you in times to come, my people, will see the invisible realm. For those of you who do not see now, this will be frightening. But it is for your good that this is God speaking, I shall open your eyes then. Otherwise, would the deception be so great, none of my people would survive at all. The creatures you shall see then are from the pits of hell, where the enemy of your soul reigns. They will attempt to terrify you, but I command you now, fear not. Do not give place to the enemy in this way. You shall fear the Lord your God only, and him only shall you serve. Remember then that remember when that time arrives that what you are seeing is not anything new, but things that are very ancient. They have always been around you, but you have not always needed to know this was so. In that time, it will be necessary for you to live without being deceived by those who are wolves in sheep's clothing. Fear not, only believe in me. I am well able to protect you. Now, that was number one. Number two came today. Once dead, and this is where it gets exactly into what the Lord is leading to us, Tim and I, and Genesis 6 Productions. My children, in the end, things which were once dead shall live again. I do not wish for this to terrify you, but it has been foretold in my word. In the end, there shall be only chaos and death and destruction shall reign all around you. This has been the enemy's intent all along, and his desire is getting you into sin, that you would destroy your own souls and lead those around you into temptation. He is coming to destroy in the earth, and there shall indeed be much destruction. But in the end, my Father shall prevent him from destroying all. I tell you this that you may know it before it happens. Fear not. The things were presenting to people through true legends and through the myths associated with them and through the archaeological and the ancient architecture are at this point in history. And I want to remind everybody, the dead, once dead, that word comes from Rapha, from which derives the word Rephaim. Rephaim is the giants. Nephilim are the fallen angel, even though twice in the Old Testament it is translated giant. It should more correctly state those who descend from the fallen ones. So you've got Genesis chapter 6, obviously the name of our production company, and you have Numbers 13:33. There seems to be a lapse in ability for people to understand that Satan just didn't do this once, trying to genetically destroy the human race, but he did it twice, both before and after the flood. And now he's doing it a third time throughout the secret and arcane laboratories throughout the world. So basically, we're now seeing, if you will, the unveiling of all things. And years ago, Doug, and I don't have a copy, I'm sorry, but I gave a prophecy, I think 15 years ago, that the unseen world would become visible, that the things of men's nightmares that only terrified them in their dreams will now terrify them in their lives. And, you know, it went on, and forgive me, but those are the only two things I can remember from 15 years ago. We're at this point now in history where those things that were taking people through true legends are, I believe, the antidote for fear that is soon to overcome the whole earth. And when people are afraid and somebody comes as a celestial savior, not Jesus Christ, they're going to buy the lie and end up in eternity without Jesus. So that's why what we do, that's why we do what we do. Tim, go ahead.
I think it's interesting also how the internet has accelerated. I think it's accelerated some of the plans of the Luciferian elite, because people are able to share knowledge and are able to, obviously, for example, a wider range of people are able to hear us tonight and access the films that we make and the videos that we produce and the books that Steve writes. And so knowledge is increasing, and so rather than trying to put a lid on it, I think what we're seeing is an acceleration of the plan. They're trying to stay ahead of it, and when I say they, I mean the priests of power, the Luciferian elite, the controllers of society and of ancient history, the knowledge of ancient history, and I think that before long, it's only a matter of time before the revelation happens, before it occurs to people, that many of the very large pyramidal mountains around them are actually structures, are actually man-made structures. I don't think they're
Tim,
necessarily man-made.
Hold that thought.
Yes?
Mr. Alberino, we are coming up against the top of the hour break. Bottom of the hour break. When we come back, we're going to hit right on that subject of these man-made pyramids built around mountains. Folks, you're listening to Steve Quayle, Tim Alberino on the Hagman & Hagman Report. Stay with us.
Hagman & Hagman presents to you Steve Quayle and Timothy Alberino. TrueLegendsTheSeries.com. TrueLegendsTheSeries.com. Billed as one of the best documentaries of its type by Tom Horn. Folks, view the trailer at TrueLegendsTheSeries.com. And by all means, grab a hold of the DVD or get the streaming video. The information contained in that alone, The Unholy Sea, is beyond. I mean, you're talking about putting things in perspective. And of course, the companion works of Steve Quayle through his books, all too important. We are going to turn it back over to Timothy Alberino. Tim, thanks for holding through the break. And you were talking about a number of things right before the break, not the least of which was the man-made structure. So continue on, please.
Yeah, I was talking about the idea that there are structures, massive structures, that are too big to be believable all over the earth, that are covered in sediment at this point, and are actually are being considered to be mountains or hills and things of this nature. And we've confirmed that. We've confirmed some of that in Sardinia, where we have some things here in the United States we're looking at, but. What I was saying was, because of the availability of information and the internet and the books and the films that are being produced, and people are beginning to have a different perspective on some of these very interestingly shaped mountains and hills. Obviously, a lot of people are familiar with the pyramid in where's it, Steve? Is it the Bosnia pyramid, what people claim to be a pyramid, which I believe is a pyramid. They've They found large stones at the basin of that mountain, at the base of that mountain. And also there's indications that there are tunnels within that mountain, and it is a mountain, the Bosnia pyramid. And I'm not saying that every mountain or every mountain range has pyramids in it, but what I'm saying is that the mainstream archaeologists will never look at a pyramidal mountain and wonder if it's a pyramid, because it's just too big. It's just too large. It doesn't fit into their paradigm. But now that people are beginning to understand that giants existed in the earth, extremely large giants existed in the earth, and there was advanced technology in the ancient world, in the antediluvian world, a lot of people are looking at these things, these pyramidal mountains and conical hills, as they're called, one pyramid in Sardinia that we documented. They refer to it as a conical hill. The archaeologists do. They never bothered to dig down into the conical hill because it's too large. It's simply too large. It doesn't fit the bill. It doesn't fit into their archaeological paradigm. So I think that what I'm saying is this. I think it is inevitable. The further we go along, that disclosure on many fronts is going to happen. It is absolutely going to happen because they can't cover everything up forever. Things are being coming to light now that have been hidden for a very, very long time. And there's this undercurrent, not only an undercurrent of alternative media in terms of politics and geopolitics, there's an undercurrent of alternative archaeology, of alternative history, and it is unstoppable. And I think that's part of the reason why the United Nations is getting ready to take over the internet. I believe it's the United Nations. Is to control some of this, to try and control some of this. But the best that they can do at this point is to try and get out in front, and to try and get out in front of a lot of this kind of stuff, and to control the process of disclosure and make sure that it is oriented, just like you said earlier, Doug, make sure that the narrative is oriented towards their message. And their message is an affront to the gospel ultimately. And make no mistake, the idea of aliens, the idea of alien disclosure is absolutely and directly linked to the disclosure of the megaliths and the ancient stuff, the antediluvian stuff, as we, I believe, as we prove in our film, The Unholy Sea.
Doug, I think the point has to be made, too, that I just put up on my website, I put up researchers find the story of the 120-million-year-old map. But, Tim, one of the things in that article, just to refresh your memory and then tie it into Sardinia with this, that the map of the creator, 120 million years old, I'm reading, the third personal layer has several millimeters, according to scholars, that might have been placed in order to create diffused light to eliminate the stone slab, but also to protect the slab from external impact thanks to its calcium porcelain composition. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that one of the other additional things they need to consider is because of the alternating porcelain layer and the previous second layer of diopside glass, they were able to view this map in 3D. And, Tim, I just think that you and I need to basically, you know, believe God, and ladies and gentlemen that are listening, pray for us, that God will give us someone. I know there's a group, I won't say which country, that has done what I, tried to get the other two gentlemen, Kipu, that we were talking about, the Incan priest, not language, and then we tied that in with some of the wonderful areas of Tiwanaku. But the thing that is critical, will you share what you found? Was it on Sardinia, the quartz-like covering, or was that Malta? Yep.
That's actually multiple locations. We found that there's this ubiquitous technique of covering the megalithic stones with either some kind of a glossy stone, or with quartz or with crystals. And that's definitely the case in Sardinia. There are large blocks in Sardinia that are covered, the outer perimeters are covered in quartz. And we were told that the quartz at one time, right now it's very crystalline, and it's It's fragmented, but at one time it was probably a smooth quartz surface. And so it kind of adds another dimension when you look back into the past and you think about some of these pyramids. By the way, this pyramid of Cholula, when Cortez discovered it, he didn't realize what it was, but it was covered under earth. I mean, it wasn't like it was some temple that was in use. It was covered over with earth. So this thing is very, very ancient. It didn't belong to that, to the Aztec or the Maya. This thing is very ancient. And these pyramids were very likely covered in some kind of light reflective surface, whether it be quartz, or whether it be a finished surface on the rock so that it shines. It reflects the sun. It reflects the moon. And there could be various reasons why, and there could be various explanations as to why that might be, what kind of uses that would have had. But at the very least, when you project in your mind back into the distant past, I mean, you've got to imagine in your head shining structures, shining pyramids and megalithic structures that were shining, reflecting the sun during the day, reflecting the moon during the night. And I mean, imagine a pyramid the size of the Bosnian pyramid, if that is indeed a pyramid, which I believe it is, if that is indeed a pyramid, that's a mountain. Imagine a structure that large, covered in quartz, or in some kind of a reflective stone, shining like the sun in the day, and with the brilliance of the sun in the day and of the moon at night. I mean, this is the reality of what these ancient structures represent, what these very ancient structures represent, the ones that I believe belong to the pre-flood world. And it's absolutely amazing, because if you look into some of the history, if you look into some of the ancient writings concerning, for example, Atlantis, you'll find that the cities were described in some cases as shining cities. And so there is this, I think there's an element of truth to that. Certainly we've discovered some proof that that may in fact have been true. Again, with the quartz in Sardinia, with the, I'm trying to remember the word, for the shiny surfaces of the stones in Tiwanaku and in some places in Peru. And everybody knows that the Great Pyramid, for example, when in Egypt, the Great Pyramids at Giza were did not look like they look now, where they look like sort of steps of stones. They were covered over in slabs of some stone that I can't remember what kind of stone exactly, but there was a stone that sort of a granite or something that was reflective of the sun. And so a lot of what we're discovering, a lot of what people are discovering all over the earth and rediscovering, in terms of this pyramid in Cholula, it's the same stuff. It's the same kind of ideas. You have the presence of the Catholic Church. You have underground structures beneath them. A lot of these structures actually have tunnels and stuff that are built into them that we know about. But also beneath them, there are large compartments and chambers and tunnels. And it's our contention, and we make this contention in our last film, that these tunnels are connected. That is a worldwide network, an underground highway. That basically is running through the earth, all over the earth, and that even to this day, as we're building modern day deep underground military bases, we're utilizing some of the ancient structures that are below the surface of the earth, and probably encountering some of the ancient entities that still inhabit those subterranean structures.
And this is really important, Doug, because what Tim just brought up, the ancient tunnel system, if you will, the superhighways of the fallen angels, remember, they thought and they built to escape the Great Flood. Again, we're talking about fallen angel technology, understanding, and wisdom. Now, Tim, I just want to quote this because it's what you just stated. I think it's called Buzegi, Romania, the underground bases are there in the tunnels, okay? These tunnels go from Romania to the Himalayas, towards the Giza Plateau, and another tunnel leads to the inner Earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this sounds like really wild stuff, because now, why would we be talking about this? How does it relate to the Bible, and why is it important to salvation? Because I believe, surely the Lord God will do nothing except he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. I mean that in the context of the testimony of Jesus as a spirit of prophecy. God said, and Amos said, his people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, not because he doesn't give it to them, but because they don't pay attention to it. So when the militaries of the world built their secret underground structures in contemporary times, all they had to do was basically attenuate many of these underground tunnel systems, which, by the way, go into the oceans. They go all over the world. So, you know, the Romanian situation is unusual. And I don't know the name of the building. If somebody wants to email it to me, it's the Romanian, if you will, their capital building. But it's considered one of the largest buildings, and it's contemporary, you know, relatively contemporary, ever built. But what it sits on, and you're going to love this, everyone, it sits on the same type of a tunnel structure that Tim uncovered through, you know, the different interviews and talking to the different people when he was in Cusco, Peru. It sits on top of all this ancient tunnel system, and that, well, when his name, Sesescu, they always had their plan to escape. The United States government paid them huge money to keep it quiet, even while they were officially our Cold War enemies. And what you'll find is Egypt's and other nations that were getting huge amounts of money were always being paid, basically, to keep their mouths shut about all the ancient technology, all the ancient tunnel systems, all the ancient structures. But now, going back to what we said, Tim's just talking about Sardinia and the different coloring, the coatings on the stones there. Imagine, if you will, a world without oceans. And imagine that the pyramids lined the surface of the earth at ley line intersections. And imagine that they were, during the day, giant beacons, so you could go from point A to point B. Then imagine that they effectuated the ability to even travel by night because of the storage capacity of some of the capacitors that have been found. Doug, I sent to you some amazing photographs, courtesy of Robert Shrewsbury, of a plutonium tablet in a boron tube that's about, just based on the half-life of the plutonium, and it was found in the tomb of a giant, 4,000 to 6,000 years old, okay? We're talking plutonium, boron. Those of you that don't know what that is, go look it up. It's used in the the world of nuclear reactors, but primarily atomic bombs. So also, the information that we've been turning up from all over the world is that it's not just the Baghdad battery, but the ancients had such sophisticated knowledge of power. We're not talking about seashells chipping away at rocks, building the Aztec Empire, the Incan Empire, the Mayan Empire. There is no case where those civilizations ever claimed to be the builders, but they claimed it was the giants that came from the east. And I put up on my website too, ladies and gentlemen, the fawn hoofed mummy that was found in the United States by miners. In other words, it had the feet of a fawn, if you will, almost like a Bacchus style creature, and red hair. So it's important to understand that the headlines, who would have ever thought, Doug, Joe, Tim, that Matt Drudge would be carrying stories about exorcism, about devils, the front page Satanism, and maybe in the next hour we'll explain something. Those who have had what knowledge is available, and whether they have access to the total Hall of Records, the ancient Hall of Records, you know, the emerald tablets of Tote, T-O-T-H, the thing that's critical to understand is that whether you believe it or not, the coming deception is so great that Jesus said it. If he didn't shorten them, there'd be no flesh left alive. We talk about the Zika virus, rightly so. We talk about all the different diseases breaking out. We talk about the chemtrail spraying. In the third hour, Tim's going to have to leave because he's kind of under the weather. And if Tim, if you want to, you know, if you can make it through, make it through. If not, just call it quits. Thank you for coming on, not feeling well. But, ladies and gentlemen, what we're giving you the equivalent of the Rosetta Stone to understand ancient history. The greatest cover-up in history is the cover-up of history. So the thing that is critical is that as you begin to put these pieces together, everything makes sense. Every announcement from NASA, every announcement from the European Space Agency, JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, which, by the way, was absolutely steeped in the occult, Jack Parsons, Aleister Crowley, the whole world of manipulated astronomical, what would you say, the story they tell now is far different from even that which the ancients told. And by the way, the Bible talks about the stones crying out. So we're in a time period unlike any other. And, Doug, we'll get to it later on the show, but if I could, I think I'll start posting anonymously all of, in other words, I'd never embarrass anybody or tell their name or where they're at, but, excuse me, if I were to tell you, those of you who are bought by the blood of the Lamb, Christians, who worship and acknowledge Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, your brethren are suffering torment at the hands of psychotronic warfare, at the hands of being poster children for MK Ultra and more defined horror against them. We're talking about stuff that they won't acknowledge publicly, but they're doing privately to the detriment of everything. And by the way, it's so important that you understand the lateness of the hour. And it was Orwell that said, they who control the past, determine the future, or they can write the history of the future. But what we're trying to tell you is that future has already been written in stone, and it's God's choice of timing to release it. And I would say this, from what I've been able to understand in 44 years of walking, stumbling, falling, and being lifted up by Jesus, we're right there. We're right at the threshold, and there will be a point where soft disclosure turns to immediate disclosure. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting to me that we're living in the information age, and yet the powers that be are doing everything that they can to make people dumber. And those two things are related. There's more information available to us now. The collective knowledge of mankind is on your cell phone. But at the same time, there is a campaign to dumb the human race down to such an extent that even though, and we're already seeing this happen, even though the information is there and so much of this is right in plain view, people don't have the capacity to process it anymore. And it's a chemical attack, and it's different kinds of psyops that are launched to cause us to doubt everything but the mainstream narrative. And I just find it amazing that so much information is exploding on the scene now in almost every arena, whether you talk archaeological things that they're finding in the world of archaeology, or if you talk about the space stuff, the whistleblowers that are coming out in every arena, and the geopolitical stuff and the politics of the United States, all the scientists that have been killed, the scientists that work with the natural products
naturopaths.
Exactly. Doesn't it just seem like in every arena there's an explosion of information and knowledge available to people, but at the same time there's also this very aggressive campaign to make everybody dumber, to dumb everybody down, to poison everybody. Because, like I said before, it's just because the reason why this is on my mind so much is because I'm literally in the process here of editing the next analysis, Elbrino analysis, which will probably come out tomorrow, dealing with this idea of soft disclosure. Because you can't contain the information anymore, so now you've got to try and at least control the way that the public perceives the information that's coming out. And that's really what the game is now. It's you can't really control it, but we've got to control the way that people view the information. And obviously that goes along with vilifying the sources of the information and also, you know, making everybody afraid of the word conspiracy. So, but there's an explosion of information happening. There's an explosion of knowledge coming forth. Everything is becoming apparent. And I want to encourage everybody to use the time that we have, because I don't know how long it's going to be, to access the information while you can get it, especially, you know, on the internet. And it's funny because so many people have said to me, where'd you get that information on the internet? Well, what they don't realize is that all of the information that was in books and in newspapers is now on the internet in digital form. So that's just a way of people immediately disqualifying the information that's now coming out. And it's every day something new is leaking from, again, on in every arena. And so I just encourage people to get the information you can get now while you can get it. Get the perspective that is available now, again, in every level, in every arena, not just in the archaeological stuff, which we've been talking about, in every arena, before they absolutely close down the channels, which is coming really, really fast, as you guys well know.
Yeah, it is, Tim. And we got about two and a half minutes before the top of the hour break here. But what you were saying about control of the internet, it's just in recent articles today, we know that Obama is going to hand over the control of the internet to the ICANN organization, the international organization, on October 1st.
UN.
But yes, today there's an article, an internet giveaway to the UN from the Wall Street Journal, and also a Daily Caller article, which talks about leaked documents from George Soros' Open Society, talks about regulating the internet to favor Open Society supporters. And what this article goes on to talk about is, through the Open Society, they talk about regulating private actors and control of information on the internet, exactly what Tim and Steve were both mentioning. And it goes on to state that they should favor those who are supportive of the Open Society, George Soros's Open Society, and use the laws to protect and empower those people supportive of the Open Society, and to discourage and oppress those who are not. And those are my words, paraphrasing, with the oppression. But it will be total censorship and a complete lack of freedom with the future of information and ideas if George Soros has his way and the UN has its way with controlling the internet.
Yeah, get your information now. And folks, that leads me to this. And thanks for holding, gentlemen. TrueLegendsOfTheSeries.com. That's TrueLegendsOfTheSeries.com. Folks, we really need to get this information out. Now, Steve, in the minute before here, you're working on a third part of the series, obviously, right now, correct?
Yes, we are, and I'll withhold. Let me say this: if you think two is good, if you think it blew your mind, three will be, by the grace of God, the, I don't know how to say it, it won't be the icing on the cake, but it will probably be the whole recipe, and you'll want to eat the page that the recipe is written on. Here's the good time, Doug. We can't go on the next full-scale expedition and get done. We're not begging for money. We're just asking you to buy the DVD. We promise you'll be mind-blowing. We've gotten now reports from 75 nations of the world that they love it. You've heard some of the praise from even fellow filmmakers. I've had a couple guys who are pro Hollywood guys say that's as good as anything they've ever seen. We're not bragging. We're just saying this. God is absolutely moving through this. I'm not just claiming that. I'm telling you that. That's the feedback I get continually. So you can basically TrueLegendsOfTheSeries.com, or you go on my website, SteveQuayle.com, click on the books link and order it. And Doug, it's critical that people understand they are running out of time. When they close the internet down, this type of information will virtually disappear overnight.
Amen, brother. Folks, Steve Quayle, our guests Steve Quayle and Timothy Alberino, Genesis 6 Giants, the book, Little Creatures, and of course, TrueLegendsOfTheSeries.com. Stay right where you're at.